Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we are chasing UFOs with James Fox, one of the three members of the team of the Chasing UFOs TV series. And we've acquainted James with now something for season two, which is to explore what Chris O'Brien has done with the Mysterious Valley. If you want, you should get a hold of Chris's books on the subject.
Oh, yeah.
I would love nothing more.
Yeah, it's...
I was very intrigued. Also, a really beautiful place.
Yeah, America's Tibet.
God, it really was. I was so impressed.
Well, we had an outbreak of flying humanoid sightings. We've had 20 in the last 2 years, 9 within the last 4 months.
God, bizarre. Any good photographs?
One cell phone footage by a police officer.
Wow. Bizarre.
We're putting together a 7-camera, 24/7 high-def surveillance setup on cell towers and mountaintops.
What do you guys think, speaking of surveillance cameras, what do you think of the ranch that Bigelow has been funding?
Well, I was the first investigator up there back in 96. I was the one that told Terry about Bigelow and Lawrence Rockefeller.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the real deal, is it not?
Yep. The whole area, the whole Uinta Basin has amazing activity.
Very credible sources that's really going on.
Well, you should read Frank Salisbury's book, Utah UFO Display, that he wrote back in the mid-70s about the area.
Wow, phenomenal, man. What do you think it is about that region?
It's a rent in the fabric of reality. It's some sort of egress point. There's some sort of doorway there. It moves around, too, I think. It's not only on the Sherman Ranch, or the Gorman Ranch, as the book calls it, but it's in that whole Fort Duchesne, Vernal, Roosevelt area, and then south into the heart of the Uinta Basin. That is some of the spookiest territory in the whole country.
Did the Native Indians leave any indication that that was going on while they were there?
Yeah. Yeah, and not only there, but all over the Southwest. There's been incredible activity recently on the Zuni Reservation, on the border between New Mexico and Arizona. They've had some really impressive sightings that even the Navajo Rangers are coming out and talking about up around the Four Corners area. This is all recent stuff.
Phenomenal, man. Isn't it incredible how much of this activity has been going on, is going on, and most likely will obviously continue to go on, and yet most of the world just doesn't have a clue?
No, yeah, that's true. It is.
Doesn't it blow you away? I mean, I was on Fox News today.
You have my sympathy.
Yeah.
Did you know when they came out with the health care ruling where they upheld the individual mandate, two of the cable networks got it wrong. They decided that the mandate had been struck down by the Supreme Court. One was CNN, which apologized pretty quickly. The other was Fox News.
No relation.
Let me guess. They didn't apologize.
They did in writing. I mean, there is a written memo because what happened in Judge Roberts' decision, you had this two or three sentences, and they read the first sentence and reported what happened and didn't read the second sentence, which explained everything.
Wow. Somehow that doesn't surprise me. But in any case, this guy just stood there with this incredulous look. Shepard, do you guys know who he is? Shepard on Fox News, Shepard.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know who he is, yes.
Okay, well, anyway, you know, he sort of stood there with this incredulous look on his face the whole time, and I just thought, oh, God. You know, and that's like the quintessential reporting on UFOs, and I just thought, this guy hasn't got a clue. He's in his organization. Could you imagine if, like, one-tenth the resources went to, like, the Monica Lewinsky or Ilya Gonzalez stories would go to this? And how potentially explosive this would be?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
To me, it's like you're just not in the know, buddy. You just don't know, you know, you just don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we really care about Lindsay Lohan's traffic accidents, you know?
But a part of me that's going, gosh, you know, if this is the kind of stuff that rates well, my God, I picked the wrong industry, you know?
Yeah.
It's the American pubic, James. They say that no one's ever gone poor.
James, it's the American pubic.
Of the American public, right?
No, the American pubic. Forget the L.
This is family radio,
yeah,
folks.
Really.
Let's not get beside ourselves.
Guys.
Chris, right now, he's thinking because he's here. And because he figures that he's here in person, I'm not going to cut him off, but I will. because he knows I have my fingers on the mixer here, and I can just turn that down, and that's it. But seriously speaking, you know, this presents, let's consider the obstacle in investigating UFOs. We have MUFON. We have scattered organizations around the world with a few thousand members. We have some reality shows, but the budget you guys have is a fraction of what any cable news outlet has, 24/7. And imagine if you had a Woodward Bernstein type of investigative reporter who went after the UFO mystery with a decent budget and, okay, take 6 months, take a year, figure out what's going on. What do you think they'd come up with?
That we're being visited.
Pushing up daisies.
There you go. There you go. Even better. Exactly. It's probably a more accurate description of what the end result of that investigation would, you know. It's funny because I remember going to commercial break when we did a segment. There was one episode of all the nine appearances that I helped organize for the Larry King shows. But there was one in particular where I literally had it my way. I got to pick everybody. They said at the end, I think like several weeks to put it together, but they said at the end of it, we have to have a counter viewpoint. We have to have someone on. I'm sorry, but we have to do that. And I said, okay. Well, I didn't have a choice. So I think I picked James Magaha that time. I'm not sure, because he seemed like he was easily debunked. But not only that, but they said we won't have him on until the second half. So if you guys ever get the opportunity, it was in November of 2007. It was like John Callahan, Governor Symington, Colonel Holt, Peniston, and we had a satellite feed in from Denmark with Nick Pope and myself for the first half of the entire CNN live, you know, Larry King thing show. And it was amazing. And I remember we were going to commercial break the second time around, you know, and granted, you know, we have certain obviously time restrictions, but hey man, it was live and we were going, and no, you know, it was amazing. Went to the second commercial break and Larry looks over at the governor and he looks over at Peniston and he looks over at Colonel Holt and he says, wow, this stuff's real, isn't it? And they kind of nodded and said, yeah, this is really happening. And he had this look on his face, and he had this look like, holy moly, you know. It was like this sort of revelation. You could see the gears turning on the inside of his head. Like, here's a guy who's been in this industry, the news reporting industry, all this time, and he was having this revelation like, hey, maybe there's a lot more to this than what we've all thought. I'll never forget that moment. It was very exciting. But, you know, and then I talked to him later about it, Larry King, and he said, I'd like nothing more than to have the definitive piece of evidence. And if you ever find it, you come to me. And no matter what I'm doing, I'll make sure it gets reported on. So it's like, on the one hand, you have the, you know, iconic figures in the media saying, hey, I'd love nothing more than to break this story. I'd love it for it to be true. Then on the other hand, they're not out there going digging for it. And they're not putting the resources and the manpower. I mean, CNN during that period did quite a bit. Don't you think we did?
CNN, I think you did a lot. I mean, if you go with somebody like a Shepard Smith over at Fox News or any of these TV anchors, they're not really interested in doing journalism. They're just reading a teleprompter or maybe interviewing guests or interviewing other reporters. It's not like when Walter Cronkite was doing it.
Yep. I almost got to Walter Cronkite, by the way, you guys. He got a little ill. I was trying to get to him in 2000. Was that 2007 or 2008? And I had a preliminary interview secured with him. And then he got sick, and I never got it back again. But I'd really like to know what his takes are.
What speculation that would be. Don't forget, neighbors, you can also find us on Twitter. That's where we are. We are the Paracast on Twitter. So send us a tweet if you have some comments to make about the show. We have James Fox. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. How did I do, guys?
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story." Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant, and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMics.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMics.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMics.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMics.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMics.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMics.com.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Alli-Van has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with 3 times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled AffinityHealthProducts.com, healthproducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Alli-C or Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We have James Fox. He is one of the 3 members of the team chasing UFOs for National Geographic Channel. The premiere episode began Friday, June 29th, 2 episodes at 9 and 10 p.m. The first episode covered Stephenville, Texas, and as we've already hinted, we did a little bit of a spoiler there. They see something. they couldn't identify or expect. Maybe E.T. was watching them.
I thought you guys were going to introduce me as my real true action hero, G.I. James. Is that
G.I. James? I like it. That's good. Okay.
Actually, he auditioned for Robin in The Dark Knight Rises, but Robin is not in that film. I'm sorry.
G.I. James strikes back. This time, he's pissed off.
Shh, don't tell the production company they'll use it in the next promo.
Somebody wronged him. Nobody wrongs G.I. James.
Well, I've got a couple of observations about the production techniques and some of the choices that have been made.
We should basically first point out that Chris O'Brien here has done documentary films.
Yeah, a number of them. In fact, we won the Ebby Awards at the UFO Congress this year with It Could Happen Tomorrow, the doc that I cut.
I'd love to see that.
50 shows. Nat Geo did contact me, but Bree did not follow up, so I didn't go chasing after them. I used up my Warholian 15 minutes of fame 20 years ago. So,
I tried desperately to get Ping Pong, Nat Geo, to go to the conference. I said, my God, we have a wealth of stuff all happening in one spot. We have this organization that's paid to fly all these people in from
and
all
Chris
over.
And Chris would have bought you lunch.
Yeah.
Incredible stories, exactly, you know. And they tried, and some things overlapped, and it's just silly. But, you know, what I'm really hoping is that in the future I'll have a bit more power. You know, I got my foot in the door. They are listening, and my previous works, I sent a four-disc DVD set. I sent 50 Years of Denial, Out of the Blue, the revised version of Out of the Blue, 2006 release. And I know what I saw, as well as the raw material from the 2007 November National Press Club event that Leslie Kane and I did.
Right.
And those have been circulating headquarters, and they, you know, the feedback I'm getting, you know, the president of National Geographic, all been watching this stuff and been very, very impressed. You know, I don't think they realized how much to UFOs there was. So in some ways I'm slowly influencing the powers that be in my little way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's good. We need somebody like you on the inside, you know, jerking some chains.
I'm taking a few hits in the UFO community as a result of it, but I'm prepared to take a bit of a risk to get into the arena and see what kind of things I can shake up.
Yeah, we need all the inside guys that we can get. I think it's really good that you're doing it, and I'm really impressed with the production quality. But I do have some questions about some of the decisions that were made to do specific things, like go out and check for physical evidence, metal, in the dead of night in you know, ankle deep water would be one. And also, whose idea are those face cameras? That can't be.
They're very flattering, aren't they?
It's just to me they're so hokey. And you know, maybe in a ghost show, or I think one of you even joked in the first episode that it reminds you of Blair Witch Project. It does, but that's not necessarily a good thing.
Is that one of the constraints, though, that you have? The success of Blair Witch and the so-called found footage, and therefore everybody now has to emulate that.
Yeah, you know, apparently some – I don't watch TV. I don't know if you guys knew that. I don't even have a television. So,
neither do I.
But from what I understand, there were a few shows that introduced that style of filming at night, and it was just a major overnight hit. And other shows have tried to emulate that, and for some reason – viewers love to watch people at night creeping around looking for stuff.
Looking,
you know,
for metal physical evidence at night?
For instance, when we were at Roswell, we were looking for metal all day. I mean, I was out there. I couldn't have been happier. I was like a pig in doo-doo. And
family radio reaching the edge of reality here, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of pigs, did you ever get any shots of the big pig that was stalking you? It seemed like you had a secret admirer in the bushes there, buddy.
All right, guys, I was going to say something else. I realized it was not appropriate. So, but I was really happy, and we stayed out, and I said, hey man, can we stay out here a few more hours after sundown? And we did, and it kind of made sense because we were out there for 5 hours in daylight, and I was, you know, hell-bent on finding something. We had a geologist, you know, Frank Kimbler, out there with us. We had, obviously, you know, Ben McGee, who's a geologist. We were looking around ant hills and animal burrows and areas of runoff, and it was very exciting. And we ended up going in, moving into darkness, and working, operating under the cover of darkness. But, you know, there are other instances where we're out there, like, for instance, by the grist mill, where it just didn't make any sense. It was like, really, why are we out here at night right now? You could see so much better. So there were times when it was like, all right, I could see how this makes sense, and times where it just didn't make sense.
But fortunately, you were saved by getting that great footage.
Yeah, you know, exactly. We got some good. Yeah, there was times when, like, hey, you want to be out under the night sky, trying to get a glimpse of area, potential areas for hotspot areas, obviously. But there are times when we're doing stuff going, why are we doing this at night? You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. We should be out here during the daytime. So that's a little frustrating, and I think things will change for future episodes because, you know, people like Ben and myself are really going to put our foots down a little bit from time to time and say, all right, you know, we understand we want to create a sense of adventure and be out under the cover of darkness certain times, but other times it just simply doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I agree. I found it pretty interesting that that you should have the kind of gear that you have out there. That's one thing that I was impressed with is the kind of technology that you're bringing to bear. I mean, I would be like a kid in a candy store with the kind of gear I'm sure that National Geographic has access to. What other types of gadgetry are you going to be bringing out?
Here's the really cool thing, is that if we can't afford it, and, you know, we can get a lot of cool gear, but if we can't afford it, a lot of the companies that produce that gear, provided we plug them, will let us take it into the field.
Product placement. Wow.
Yes. You see what I'm saying? So the cool thing is, like, if this show does well and I have more say-so, which I certainly plan on arranging, I'll be able to come to specialists like you guys and say, hey, you know what, let's go revisit a crash site and let's take all the tools we need necessary to get our butts out there. Do you know what I mean? And really see what we can uncover.
Top of your list.
You know what I mean? Well, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Well, I know that Chris likes to travel. I'm a hermit. I've told people that. I don't go out. I just simply stay in my studio and I write and I edit and I produce. And if I go out, you know, people just scream, oh, him. Forget it. Chris is agreeing.
Well,
you know, when Chris is here and he does his rare appearance in the studio as opposed to remotely, he wears shades.
Well, I was like a kid in a candy store. I'll tell you, man, being at the Roswell crash site for me was something I've been waiting for 20 years.
I'll tell you we can't wait for 20 years for this. We have James Fox with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection, guaranteed or your money back.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I live in my car, sometimes a rental car. Every day, I find a nice quiet place to pull over and meet a client through WebEx, face to face on my smartphone. This is the way to do business.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco, WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast, because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We're having a great time with James Fox. He's one of the three members of the team of Chasing UFOs. And Chris has been going over some of the technical aspects of the production of episode number one, which covered Stephenville, Texas, where James and Ben and Aaron were lucky to see something. Chris?
What was the final upshot of the analysis of that footage? It looked perfectly circular when it sequenced, the light sequenced. What did Ben think? What did the other people in post think about that? I mean, I don't think.
Well, here's one of the things that we want to change for if this goes to a next season, and I think it got more in depth as the show progressed. But the way it was structured, it didn't leave us a whole lot of time for the analysis at the end. And myself and Nat Geo and other people in the production were like, "Hey, look, we really need to spend more time on the analysis. Otherwise, you're leaving the viewers hanging."
Exactly.
And we really, really, really. It hit home with that. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. It seemed really light on the backside for the first couple episodes. However, there were changes. I know that we all flew down for Brazil and Mexico and others to give a little more meat at the back end and continue to do so. And I mean, even Nat Geo had mentioned something about that. But the analysis work, I've been kind of out of the loop. So the analysis work primarily is left for laboratories, and they really do send stuff out, by the way. To labs for it. Now I've got a lot of the documents, but that stuff's been sort of Ben and Ryder's end of things. So, you know, I think that more of an effort needs to be made at the end of those shows to properly evaluate that stuff. But in terms of what the end result was with that was we don't know what it was.
Well, it was impressive, I must say.
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive too.
Yeah, it was a one in a million chance that you got that footage.
I couldn't wait to get it on a bigger screen.
Do you shoot in HD?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because they didn't send us HD on the presses DVDs. It's just standard definition. I don't know. Maybe they figure Blu-ray costs too much.
No, they wanted to get two episodes.
Oh, really?
On one
disc. Do you guys standard def on the DVD? That's right, huh? Because standard DVDs are just that, aren't they?
Yeah.
You couldn't fit two episodes on one disc.
For Blu-ray, you could. Blu-ray, it's only 46 minutes an episode. On Blu-ray, you could.
Yeah.
And that also, I guess, is one key question here. The constraints to get all this to fit into, what, 44 to 46 minutes after the commercial
interest. Yeah, you know, we had an amazing, I mean, it was, God, it was so good. We had a couple of interviews that were just so good. One of them was this very spirited debate between John Alexander and myself. And I have, you know, tremendous respect for someone of his caliber to come forward and write. Take such a strong position with UFOs. However, I strongly disagreed with him about the cover-up aspect.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't buy that. We had a debate with him and Stanton Friedman a couple of years back. I suggest you
listen. I bet you Stanton Friedman ate him up for lunch.
He held his own pretty well. But one thing that I asked him, which he didn't
answer.
Wait
a minute. John Alexander held his own against Friedman?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, they both, you know, had intangible, you know, unmovable positions. So it was more of a Mexican standoff. But one thing he could not answer was why, in his book, UFOs, he did not mention the National Security Administration once. The NSA is really the sleeping dog in all this. I mean, they have data that would just blow our minds. I'm sure of it.
Oh, I mean, come on. You know how many times I've talked to military witnesses that said they handed off the evidence and it was never seen them? And I said that to John. I'm like, John. He's like, well, it's just, you know, it slipped between the cracks. I'm like, no, evidence of a flying saucer doesn't just slip between the cracks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't buy that. You don't, oh, it just got lost in a file somewhere. Yeah, right. Landed flying saucer at Edwards Air Force Base just got lost in a file.
Yeah.
Not buying that.
Well, in the fact that he never mentions the NSA once in the entire book, that to me is quite disingenuous.
Yeah, it's interesting. What did he say about that?
He didn't. He dodged the question. He did not address that.
Well, Stan must have pinned him against the wall.
No, he didn't. He had a chance to, but he didn't. Stan was busy banging his own drum.
Stan was being a gentleman.
Yes, and of course, in his the Friedman style.
I've often said, you know, there's so much internal bickering, we're like a bunch of old ladies going on in the UFO community, that we're sort of our own worst enemy.
Yeah, they don't.
And, you know, and on the one hand, I can see, you know, why these things happen. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, embracing diversity and thoughts. And
yeah, we're all part of a big team. We should all be working together, you know, the Rodney King school.
Right.
Why can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Remember when he said that? He just died, you guys.
I know.
He just found it in the bottom. It was so funny how they, like, the report I heard was so brief. It was like, Rodney King found dead at the bottom of the pool. No foul play anticipated or you know, thought of. And I thought, well, wait a minute. He's dead at the bottom of his pool. There's no foul play. Not to say there's some big conspiracy here, but.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Brian Jones when he died in 68.
I know, part of the Rolling Stones. Yeah, wow. He was.
Well,
yeah.
Well, getting back to episode one before we. Before we move on to the second show, where did you come away with in Stevensville, and how come I never heard anything about the alleged flyover of the Crawford Ranch and some of the military activity? There was a major time lag between the military acknowledging that they had flights up in the area. I mean, it was a number of days before they.
I had interviews lined up with Robert Powell, extensive, you know, discussions with him. He was all set to do it. And for whatever reason, the powers that be decided not to discover that. And I think they felt like it had been kind of done, been there, done that. They wanted to do a fresh, new kind of angle on it. You know, there was the Ricky Searles had come to me, and he said that after his sighting, he started to investigate.
James, you could have used that to your advantage and said the Air Force declined to comment when we approached them, or they declined to meet with us or something. You could have, you know, put a little bit of some heat on them.
You are speaking to the choir. Believe me, I was like, wait a minute, this is really significant. And there's so much stuff like that that just, you know, ends up either on the edit room floor or ends up not happening. Like, I'll give you another example. I was pushing the whole time to have this analysis work done with Frank Kimbler. We had found a laboratory in Los Angeles that was going to do the type of analysis necessary. It's extremely expensive for free, provided they get plugged on that geo. Then Frank Kimbler didn't want to to hand his stuff over. I don't blame him. He didn't want to hand his stuff over to some lab via FedEx, only to be sitting with, you know, some intern for God knows how many endless weeks that they said it was going to take. He was worried he's never going to see these things again. He's like, look, I'll bring them to the lab personally and hand them over. I want to meet the guy. You'd think, hey, all this effort, let's fly this guy out, put him up for a couple of nights, and make this happen. Didn't happen. To me, that was a class A screw-up. But I didn't have enough control, you know. There's nothing I could really do about that. But there are things like that that happen, like, you know, things get left on the back burner. I don't know.
The constraints of time where things have to be on the cutting room floor that may be really great for an episode. Maybe you should do like a super episode sometime with a continuum. That's another interesting point here. Obviously, each story has to be dealt with in the confines of a single episode. You've never considered, or would you consider for season two, if things go well, having one subject basically continue to a second episode?
I think it's a great idea. A follow-up on a certain thing. I think it's a brilliant idea. You know,
yeah, the case would have to be compelling enough to do that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you have, well, I'll tell you, you know, when I was in, gosh, guys, I don't know if, I'm sure you probably know probably more about this than I do, but when I was at the grist mill interviewing Ricky Searles, he's the deer hunter that was underneath that craft that was so big he couldn't see edge in any direction. When he looked up at it, and he was just studying, he's a metal worker as well, and he was studying the fabric, the metal of this craft. He was describing that there was no rivets, no seams, no welds. There were these recessed, like inverted cones in the belly of the craft. And he, you know, he's like, you could land an airplane on that thing. It was so huge. And right after the interview, it was outside. It was in the daylight. It was kind of sprinkling that day. A gentleman walked up to me, and we had the whole, you know, Nat Geo crew there. Big, when we travel in a big group. And this gentleman walked up to me, and he says, he pulls out his badge, and he says, sir, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm Officer Blank.
I'll tell you what, we'll find out what he told the crew. We have to break. We have James Fox with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Today only, Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again with up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at beprepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze-dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, through today only. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have James Fox, one of the members of the Chasing UFOs team with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And you started talking about this person you met outside after doing this interview, who had some more stuff to present to you.
Well, yeah, he approached me, and he pulled out his badge, and he said, "My name is Officer Blank," and he showed me his badge, and he was an officer. And he said, "I'd like to talk to you." Great. I told one of the members, actually, I think I got in a little trouble because I disappeared for a bit, but I did tell one of the staff that I was going to head out for a moment, and we nipped around the corner to this little cafe. And he kind of looked over both shoulders and looked around. He was very paranoid, and he said, I need to tell you something. He said, that craft that Ricky Sorrell saw, he said, I saw that thing too. Matter of fact, all five officers on duty in the region saw that craft. He said it was about the size of two department stores. One or two, I think he said it was two. But that it was moving so slowly, and it was so close, that he pointed his radar gun at it and got a hit on it, that it was traveling at 22 miles an hour. And there was another officer that night that I'll tell you one more little tidbit he shared with me. He said they were looking at it. Another officer was looking at it from a vantage point from a hill, sort of down on it. You see the top of the craft. It was really low. And he said, there was a truck driver, a guy driving a pickup truck that drove underneath it. He said, that guy got one heck of a sight. This police officer has videotaped one of the craft from one of the cars, the cams in the car. And that video footage was taken back to the local police station and they all looked at. Apparently it was pretty good. So the local military base took that video footage. And he said, I can't do any of this on the record. I just wanted you to know that's what happened.
Oh, boy. I'd love to see the cutting room floor.
Really?
Well, no, this was not on camera. This was just, he pulled me aside. But the fact that this police officer pulled me aside, showed me his badge, talked to me about the whole incident, he just wanted me to know the truth. And I was just, you know, it's really, that's pretty shocking.
As a feature on our show, we open up a thread at forum.theparacast.com to our many forum posters so that they can ask questions of our guests when they're on the air. And I have a question here from Polterwurst, who's been a member of the Paracast for about a year and a half. And he says, James, have you ever looked at a possible paranormal connection in UFO sightings? Judging from the number of paranormal witness type TV shows, there should be at least as many good UFO witnesses as there are ghost and haunting witnesses, so why not make another film like I Know What I Saw, featuring the most credible paranormal witnesses. Maybe look for commonalities or differences between the two fields, UFOs and the paranormal. Also, he mentions doing something on reincarnation or near-death experiences. Lots of solid research and credible people talking about it, like you wouldn't believe if you think there's just a religious or esoteric issue to this. What about that? Do you think there is a connection between is there some paranormal aspect to UFOs in your estimation?
It's a great question. Let me start off with the second bit first, because it's kind of fresh in my mind. I just lost my father about a month and a half ago. I actually watched him make, as he made the transition, I was in the room. And I watched my mother pass as well. Fortunately for me, I was in the room for both of their transitions. And with my mother, about a minute or so after she stopped breathing, this, I don't know how to describe it, whether it's something you see or feel or both, but it was like this, this string of silk sort of exited the back of her neck as she was lying down on the bed, about a minute or so after she stopped breathing. It exited very smooth, very fluidly, and I was standing up just to the left of her, and it went around my neck like a silk scarf and then shot out the window, very smooth, very fluid. When I watched my father pass, his wasn't so smooth, it wasn't fluid. He stopped breathing. He was a quadriplegic with multiple sclerosis, so he'd been suffering for a while, but very much enjoyed life and did amazing things while he was here. But his sort of, you remember that Jack in the Box, and then it boing and it pops out? That's what it was like with my father's spirit. It sprung out of him and it bounced up to the ceiling and looked down at us. Now, I know anyone out there could say I'm crazy for saying this, but I don't really care whether anyone believes me or not. That's what I felt at the time. It was as real as me talking to you guys right now. And a very good friend of mine, Tim Coleman, who co-produced Out of the Blue, just recently did this film on life after death called The Skoll Experiments, in which it's phenomenal. He spent like 5 years documenting these alleged conduits, I'm not sure what you'd refer to them as, mediums, that get in touch with the spirit world. And this guy's a very bright guy, former BBC correspondent, very well-read, articulate. You know, if there was nothing to this, I promise you he wouldn't have spent 5 years on it. And the results of his investigation and his film were truly phenomenal. So I'm all open for something like that. But the problem I have with that is there's only so much time in one's life put aside for these projects. Like, when I finished I Know What I Saw, I didn't think I had it in me to do another UFO film. But I really feel like I fell short on this subject. I wanted to put a film into theaters with definitive evidence from around the world, and I didn't do that. I got close, but the investors I had on board weren't willing to take the chance necessary to enter the film into film festivals and ultimately get it into theaters. We had an offer on the table from A&E, and they were going to not take it, and they outvoted me, so I had to go with it. So I really want to set my sights back on this initial project of creating a higher-end version of I Know What I Saw, but more around the world, better evidence, recent stuff, cases like the Virginia case and cases in Chile and Africa, the ruins in Zimbabwe and all of Japan and China and Russia. And maybe a 2-hour special or 1.5-hour special, I don't know, but we're sort of fine-tuning it right now. And the really cool thing is that a lot of the contacts I'm making now with National Geographic is really helping me with that project in mind. So I'd like to accomplish that goal first, before I embark on other paranormal projects, but I'm always interested and fascinated, and I'm sure there must be a connection.
A fast showbiz question. Do you feel being part of Chasing UFOs, especially if it goes on for a number of years, you're typecast? Oh, he's the UFO guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. I think it's already too late.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think it's probably too late. But that's okay. I've done other smaller projects. I did the film called The Good Fight. I did a short film on that I'm working on the BP oil spill. I have a rough cut done of that. I probably have another 6 months of go on that one. I made a short movie on, for a scientist that goes to, Antarctica every year, and his effort right now is trying to save one of the last bodies of water where you can actually watch the interaction of species as they've been doing so for millions of years, sort of untouched, unmolested by man. And it's called the Roth Sea. And so I'm working on those projects. I did what's called a webisode for members of Congress to highlight some of what's happening up there. I did a piece on the old growth giant sequoias in Sequoia National Monument for to try and shed a little light on what's been happening up there and get that in the hands of the Park Service. So I have my other little side gigs, and the UFOs seems to be something that kind of keeps me going. I've never made a lot of money at it. For those of you out there that think I haven't. I have zero savings in my savings account. I'm struggling right now to try to pay for a house. But I seem to be making it work somehow, some way. And in terms of whether or not I feel like I'm going to be pigeonholed as the UFO guy, I think it's much too late for that.
I think it's fair to say to people who look at TV as this rich source of riches, people making tens and tens of millions of dollars, you know, you're hired help for a reality series. You know, the pay may be nice, but it's not that nice.
No,
it's nothing. It's nothing to speak of. I mean, it's funny. It's like, you know, here I am on television and right now, and I'm probably broker now than I've been in 5 years. But you know, I'm used to being. I can handle being broke. You know, I make my money in spurts, and I've got a couple films in distribution, and I'm working those deals, and I have a lot of overhead right now because I just bought a house. I've been living in a house for 12 years and renting, and no savings whatsoever. But I put all the money I made into my movies, but I had the landlady lose her job, and she really needed to sell the place, and I put a lot of money into it, and she made a deal with me, and so fortunately I was able to, you know, basically do a loan through her, not the banks, and it kept me in the place, and I'm just, you know, trying to pay it off as best I can. I got a couple little rentals that I built on the property with all recycled materials that I got from locals in the area.
So basically, you become a landlord yourself. You're becoming a landlord yourself. We got to pay a few bills here. We're talking to James Fox with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crust, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.